Uh-huh now. Yeah.
Born in Texas, the land right. of thief, but never cared for no greener than the hell Y'all to leave me now.
That's a little more funky.
Yeah, that's a really fun version. Where'd you find that?
There's about an infinite amount of Meat Man songs. How was your weekend?
Good. I was just getting over a cold. You know, there was a pretty rough hurricane that hit Texas, although we're pretty safe here in Austin. I think you were talking about a bunch of guys from Kansas who went down there to cook barbecue for the first responders, right?
Yeah, I learned about this on Instagram. Some of the meat men out there were retweeting this, Instagramming it. Operation Barbecue, it's a nonprofit from Kansas City. And they're just outside of Houston right now, prepared to bring barbecue to the people, to the responders, to the people helping. And I think it's a pretty cool cause. To feed the people helping others is a great pat on the back, I think.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to do.
So you can find them online, Operation Barbecue. There's ways to help them out, whether by donating your time or a few bucks. You can read all about them. They're a nonprofit, and they've done a lot of work around the country.
And there's a ton of other relief efforts happening, so you can look on your favorite social media or just Google Houston Flood Relief, and there's tons of places to donate money or donate time if you have it.
Yoni's pocket just crinkled. What was that in there?
It's some Four Sigmatic mushroom coffee.
Some mushroom coffee. Wow. What does that taste like? Mushrooms?
No, it's mostly coffee, but it's something that Tim Ferriss talks about. So I bought a little box of it, and I've been trying, and it's pretty good stuff.
You know what I think the next big thing coffee is?
What?
Just a little cream and sugar.
I like black.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to make a little treat sometimes. Everyone needs a big sugar burst in the morning. You know, speaking of that Meat Man song, I just love having themes I've learned. I love hearing it week after week.
Yeah.
It gets me jazzed.
Totally.
So I think I might have found a theme for you.
What's that?
Well, I was listening. I heard it a couple days ago, and I was like, God, that I was singing your name to it. It just came out naturally. And on my way to the studio here early this morning, it came on again. So I figure we should try it out and see if we can, like, maybe crowbar in a theme song for us every now and then.
Let's hear it.
So let's take a listen here, and then I'll come in where I think I can change the words.
Perfect.
Little Chili Peppers.
Nice.
The name of the song is Snow. Heyo. So let's see what I can do.
Stadium Arcadium, right?
You know, I don't know. Heyo. Wait, here we go. Yoni eats at Snow's.
Nice. I like it.
We're talking paleo. When he eats at Snow's. What do you think?
I think, well, it makes me wonder what isn't paleo. I guess the banana pudding isn't paleo, it's Snow's.
Well, again, I wrote it in like 3 minutes in the car.
Nice.
You want to try the next one?
Yeah, there's another one?
Well, another chorus.
Oh, okay.
I want to do it together. We can even add a little vocal effect if you want. Hey-ho. Come on, do it.
Yoni eats at Snow's.
Oh, I'm going to harmonize. You sing first.
Hey-o. Hey-o.
Yoni eats at Snow's.
Oh, why do you make me sing on this freaking show? It's ridiculous.
No one's listening for our dulcet tones.
Well, and I'm enjoying that you've chosen to sing on the weekend after I'm getting over a cold and we're recording earlier than ever.
I say we start a Meat Man band. We'll just strum on some steaks on stage, bang on them.
I'll play. You need to organize it, though. I've tried to run a band. It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on a previous episode. Yoni was in a reggae band, and I was in a hardcore band.
We could have collaborated.
Yeah, what would that sound like?
Bad Brains.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that actually existed.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
So now we just need a theme song for me.
Yeah, I mean, how would you even, would it be? It'd probably be some hardcore song.
I'm thinking that banana song. Stover, stover, bob over, banana, fana, fof over, me, my, mo, me.
That's not even really unique
barbecue.
To you.
And then you just say barbecue at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. So we're going to continue having y'all listen to us talk with Wayne Miller from Louis Miller. We had a great time there. He was super hospitable and everyone there just welcomed us with open arms.
The disadvantage that we have with regards to modern barbecue establishments is we have a 117-year-old building that my father worked diligently to maintain its personality and its original decorum from the time that we moved in, which was in 59. Leave that unchanged because people have a certain expectations. He was looking for consistency. And then I think he started to see that there was a certain sort of nostalgia that went along with all of the older stuff. Well, the older I got, the more I saw him as a genius in this regard. And when I came back, it was, you know, it was an unstated mission that I'm a barbecue guy, yeah, but I'm a curator as well. And that everything that we have needs to stay in working condition as much as humanly possible. Because this old space is essential to people understanding, I think, reaching back. I don't know, it's a time machine in a way, because walking into that room, other than a few of the chairs, what you experience in there is what you experienced in there 50 years ago.
So Wayne actually left the industry. Obviously, his dad, Bobby, was involved and ran Louis Miller. And Wayne went out for a career in advertising. And he had to come back. He felt a draw back to barbecue to work with his dad, but also to return to this family passion.
Well, I love how he talks about, like, he was leaving forever, and then he's like, I came back, which shows what I know.
Yeah, let's listen to him talk about his return to barbecue.
My father asked me to come back in late 2006 after he received his James Beard. He told me to go away, have a career. I spent 25 years elsewhere, going to school, graduate school, then working in sports, having an ad agency before coming back. What I noticed, the difference was, I grew up in this place, started working when I was 8, and I've always had this view of it as it's this small family-owned business, mom and pop. Dad worked really hard. We didn't go on vacations because it was just, he didn't have the time, and he couldn't be closed. That it was really just a local business that had, whose recognition had expanded beyond its local confines. That's kind of the way I saw it in high school. Coming back, it didn't take long. I came back with a similar sort of view, knowing that its influence was certainly now national, but not really understanding what all of that meant. About 2 months after my father passed away, I came to realize that I had my own epiphanies. One of them was that it wasn't a mom and pop organization, it was an institution. I happened to be the person at the head of the institution in its third generation, in its third iteration, and that people, a growing mass of people, had been influenced, had had their epiphanies, had called this place sort of the Holy of Holies for a reason. I realized that I wasn't coming back to save memories of my own, because all my formidable years were here. And I wasn't saving this little family business. I was saving something that was an institution in growing Texas culinary folklore that really was one of the fountainheads of what Texas barbecue is. I mean, there are these sort of pillars, family pillars, I think, that are out there. And for the first time, I really started to see the Miller family as being one of them.
And much like Louis Miller is called the Cathedral of Smoke, Wayne refers to himself here in the next clip as a missionary for barbecue, which is a cool way to put it.
Yeah, he's turned it into a religion.
I needed to become a missionary because I saw that Texas barbecue, Texas Central Texas style barbecue, was now being exported. It's being pulled into large urban centers in a way that I never thought was possible. I knew that I really believed in who we were and what we did and the influence that this has already had in the industry in a regional sense. But I wanted it to also continue having an influence on a larger stage, a national and international stage. So I took to becoming a missionary. I knew I didn't have the capital or means by which to put a Louis Miller barbecue in every town. I mean, you know, to take the Starbucks or McDonald's model was just not even an option for a whole number of reasons. But what I could do is I could go teach people how to do what we do, teach them the rub, show them a process, and turn them loose. And what I hoped to accomplish by doing that was first endearing myself to people, one person at a time, building one church at a time, right? And having them sort of create a baseline, a quality baseline of their own that is tied directly to us, so that the flavor profile, the tenderness, it all sort of fits. This is what they're trying to achieve on their own, whether they're trying to do it in their backyard or if they're trying to do it in a catering environment or a retail environment. So I started traveling, and anywhere someone would invite me to come demonstrate and cook, I would go. On my own dime, I would go to places to see them myself, to interact with folks, to try to teach what we did, all in an effort really to pay homage to my father and grandfather, because I didn't want to see what everything that they worked for and everything that they sacrificed for sort of get buried, which can happen in America if your mouthpiece isn't large enough. You don't have to be the best. You just have to be the loudest oftentimes. And that's what takes a dominant role, right? I didn't want to see that happen. I didn't want to see them lose a sort of place at the table of those barbecue pantheon, barbecue deities, if you will. I thought at least my father for certain had a space he deserved to have there.
He said you don't have to be the best, you just have to be the loudest.
Well, I think that's part of it.
Can we start just yelling on our shows and then become loudest best barbecue?
Why don't you, when you're mixing these, just turn the gain up so that people can't turn it down?
I'm standing really far away from the microphone and yelling.
Yeah, it shows that we're in a giant room.
So next we're going to hear Wayne talk about his amazing lineage, his family tree. If you have that Texas Monthly Yeti barbecue passport in your hands, and I hope all you meat men do when you listen to our show, check that page that shows the Miller family tree. You'll see just how far they've all spread.
The Yeti promotion in the Texas Monthly this barbecue edition, it touches on that family tree and that fountainhead. Daniel Vaughn has also done an article that goes a little bit more in depth about, you know, there's my grandfather, there's Fred Fontaine, there's my father, and then from my father, you've got my brother and I. My sister's sort of an adjunct to that because she doesn't really cook or administer operations. She owns, but she helps to direct. But then from those trees, those three branches, you have this outspring of people that spread across the country and across the globe that have either worked directly for them, have been directly influenced by them. When you start to look at just who these people are, and then who those people in turn train and influence, and how that spreads out even further, it becomes a sort of geometric progression.
Clearly, we talked to him in his restaurant because you can hear all the pans and the sounds in the background of that, you know, as they're setting up.
Well, and I love the space, and I love that he took the time to meet with us early, and we got to say hi to everybody.
And we got to hang out in Louis Miller before they were open, which few people get to do. So here is Wayne talking some more about the impact that Louis Miller has and stems from his family and what he learned from his dad and so forth. I mean, this is stuff that gets passed down, and it's great to see.
Texas barbecue Central Texas barbecue, because it is Texas barbecue is how it's identified, but it's really Central Texas barbecue, right? The big difference that you find in this offering versus anything from the South really has everything to do with, we believe firmly in the meat and the meat standing on its own. In the South, where it's white meat driven, it's pork and it's some chicken, but primarily porks, where sauces are absolutely required to create a flavor profile. The fats from the meat here do it. The sauces over here do it. There's no consistency when you have a lot of regional sauces, tomato based being the most popular, but certainly vinegar based and mustard based. There's no continuity there. What Texas barbecue offers is a continuity of cut, general flavor, and texture profile that is just different than the pork world. The pork world, I think, is much more fragmented, much more splintered. This is a much more core product that's being exported everywhere. And it's the core products, where here it's, you know, according to Daniel Vaughn, it's brisket, it's sausage, and it's spare ribs. For us, the longest standing items would be beef ribs, sausage, and brisket. And that would be our top three. But you move outside of this zone, sausage doesn't really even play a part. It's brisket and beef ribs and spare ribs. That is the new sort of Texas triad when you go outside of Texas and into other areas. Beef rib has become that thing, and that thing started right here. And to know that you had that kind of impact and influence is, you know, I think it would do my forefathers proud to know that, you know, we've made a mark, and that what they, you know, helped to instill and continue on and didn't veer from, their dedication to that and to that process and to keeping it pristine, there's valor there.
But Wayne wasn't just looking at the past. He also has an eye on the future. He wants Louis Miller to stick around so people can keep trying it.
Yeah, he's been keeping him going, and I'd probably cry if I couldn't get that beef rib again. I'm happy they're sticking around.
We're fortunate to have made it as long as we have, and with any good luck, we'll continue for long past, you know, my demise. I have a daughter. She has no desire to do this, but maybe her kids will. When you start at 8 years old, and this is what you do after school and on weekends, your ambitions are not to continue this on for longer periods of time. It wasn't in my cards. I couldn't wait to get out. So the fact that I came back after saying I never would shows that I don't know much.
I mean, you go there, you know that they know what they're doing. I mean, you can taste it in every bite.
Well, and just talking to him for a while, you can hear he knows the history, he knows the future, he knows everything that's happening, and people are constantly talking to him, and he travels all over the world just preaching and cooking barbecue.
One thing I wish is that our barbecue podcast was around when his dad was around, because he would have been great to talk to. What a great fountainhead of wisdom, I'm sure.
And I would love to go back and just hear more stories about Bobby.
Here's Wayne on his dad and his special relationship with him, one that grew in the final year of his dad's life, because Wayne came back to the family business and they sat there on those early mornings while the meat was cooking and the smoke's going out, just talking about life. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. To be able to share that with your dad as an adult before he goes, I'm sure he cherishes that every day.
You know, I wanted to have this relationship with my father that I didn't really have before. I started to have it when I was in college, and we started to develop this adult relationship that, you know, he wasn't now a boss or an employer or a disciplinarian or a provider. He was now, you know, I was a member of the adult class, and he could share with me things from earlier in his life, things that maybe you're not going to tell your kids, but you certainly will tell, you know, them older, and maybe lessons you've learned. And I wanted to have that relationship with him. So coming back here, a big part of that was so I could spend time with him. A big part was I had come out of a very corporate and entertainment-driven world where you can lose sight of all sorts of things. And this was a very grounding sort of place for me. It's a humbling sort of place for me, because I knew what I did here for years and years and years, and there was nothing glamorous about it. And so coming back here to save this as much for me, because I didn't want to lose all those memories. I want to have that tether to who I was. I wanted to make sure, you know, the last thing you want to do is evolve into something that you're not. And like I said, being in an entertainment world, being in a corporate world can alter you, alter your values. And this, I think, I recognize that this is more true to who I was and what I wanted to be. So coming back here was going to service all those things, but really spend time with Dad. I had 18 months with him before he just unexpectedly passed away. Nobody expected it at all. He wasn't sick. You know, he just had blockage that passed away in his sleep. But I did, the beauty of it is in 18 months that I had with him, we spent many mornings up here, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, just the two of us, finally talking, sharing thoughts and ideas and emotions, proclaiming things, stating things, helping to bring understanding to situations that there's no way I could have attained these in any other way. And because it was a very, I think, open sort of dialogue at the time in a way that it had never been before, I was able to tell him all the things that I wanted to say. I was able to ask him so many of the things that I wanted to ask him. I don't think that there was anything left important unsaid between the two of us. And it was a long time coming. I mean, you know, that's a 40-year track to kind of get to that point and to finally have some of that, bring about that peace. And that was the foundation on which the adult relationship was going to be built, right? It didn't happen, but the foundation was still built. And so when he did pass, one of the honest things I can say is I didn't have any regrets. I didn't stand by his funeral and say, you know, there were things I wish I would have told you. I wish you would have known this. All of that was said. All of that was expressed. And I feel really good. No!
My clips kept playing. That's a sound effect from the last episode.
Well done.
But it's good to know that this is a real Meat Man computer, because anytime it goes wrong, it just makes cow sounds.
I would actually set that to your system sounds. So when you turn the computer on, it does that?
That was me doing that. You do your cow noise now. Are you sick, little guy? Hey, talk to me. Talk to me, cow.
So weird, Stover.
I was hoping you do a little improv with me.
I'm good.
Speaking of meat men, I took it upon myself, much like a knight would do with a squire, to dub our first official meat man, one of our listeners. Our first meat man is John McClinton on Instagram.
Where does he live?
I don't know much about him. I know that he was listening to our show while making lamb sausage and venison cheese bratwurst, and that was enough for me to dub him a meat man.
Nice. Yeah, you showed me a picture of him taking a bite off of something on a big bone.
Oh, that was a different guy. Some guy named Ogre.
Oh, but nice.
He's a real meat man, too. So what we're going to do, much like with John there, who's our first, and John, let us know where you're from. And one of these times when we get some tchotchkes for you, we can send them. But you're our first meat man, and what we want is more meat men to come forward. Hashtag meat men on one of your photos on Instagram, and we'll find it. Do it when you're cooking. Do it when you're eating. Do it when you're not bathing. Fully clothed, please. But hashtag it meat man, and we'll dub you in a future episode an honorary meat man and send you a prize. And for any of you meat men out here in Texas, we'll be definitely at the Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest coming up in about 2 months.
It's a great chance to try barbecue from not only all over Texas, but all over the world. It's been a while since they had a fest right after the guide came out. So the passport will be there. I think you might be able to get stickers. I haven't found out the details exactly, but it's November 5th, so I would grab your tickets. I got a couple tickets already.
Where can people find tickets?
TexasMonthly.com. If you just Google Texas Monthly BBQ Fest, there's actually an opportunity to have a brisket brunch the day before, and then at the Long Center for about 4 hours. If you get a VIP ticket, you get to go in at noon, and there's going to be a ton of barbecue, you know, at least probably 20, maybe even 30 different stops. You get a bite from each place, a lot of local spots. Last year, there was some guys from France that cooked duck and all kinds of things. There were some people from all over the country.
It's a lot of driving to hit all these top barbecue places in Texas, and this is where you can get them all and get samplers from tons.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to spend weeks on the road like some people out there have been doing.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, we'd have to spend 3 days just to cover three barbecue spots. They're so far apart in Texas.
So meet men, meet women, meet everyone. Come and meet us at the Texas Monthly Fest. We'll be around.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll probably have some koozies or something fun for you, too. Maybe we should do some like hard eating days to practice for that.
You want to fill up our stomachs and stretch them out before we go?
Yeah, we'll do some like those, like the man versus food guy.
Oh, God, that is not the direction I want this show to go. I regret making you eat Arby's now. You got a thirst for that shit.
I'm going to get weird on you.
So where can people find us on social media so they can send us those meat man pictures?
Well, on Twitter and Instagram, we are at Best Barbecue. Also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Best Barbecue.
And one day we'll just rent a big truck and just blast the show and drive around all the neighborhoods.
We will get the show around the world, however it happens.
Even if it means waking you up in the middle of the night and doing a live recording from the foot of your bed.
Yeah, we will come to your house and we will record a show in your living room.
Make it all messy with our meat juice dripping everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll definitely bring barbecue with us.
All right, everyone. Let us know what you think of the show as usual. Don't forget to rate us and review us. It helps a lot. And we can't wait to hear from you. And you'll hear us again next Monday for Best Barbecue.
Talk to you soon, folks.
Hey, they call me the meat man.
This has been a production of Glencliff Media, produced right here in the heart of Texas.